Well, as we do every year, we celebrate the feast day of St. Andrew, which is actually tomorrow on the calendar. But really, it's just an excuse to hear the bagpipes, because I love the bagpipes, and I think my predecessor did as well. But also, the epistle reading from Paul's letter to the Roman, I think, is also appropriate for First Sunday in Advent, which we also are celebrating today. So in case I forget, Happy New Year! So, since Advent starts the Christian year, this is actually the new year. And Andrew is a wonderful example, I think, for us to look at as we go into this new year of the Christian church. Because he shows us how are we to approach and live out our Christian life. Now, while there is no proof that Andrew ever set foot on Scottish soil, he is obviously best known as their patron saint. Yet, as I kind of looked at it, he is also the patron saint of a plethora of other places and things. In fact, he's a patron saint of Greece, of Romania, of Russia, Poland, Ukraine, the ecumenical patriarch of Constantinople, and also, I believe, I think Fishmongers was among there as well. But it is alleged that sometime in either the 8th or 9th century, relics of Andrew were brought to the town on the east coast of Scotland, which bears his name. Which made me wonder if he was also the patron saint of golfers, which I was told at the early service he actually is. So now I know when I'm out on the golf course who I need to be praying to, that I actually have a good shot. Well, the story goes that he became the patron saint because King Angus, who was the Pict king at the time, promised before battle that if St. Andrew gave them victory over those evil English, that he would become the patron saint of Scotland. Well, right before the battle, supposedly, the sign of St. Andrew's cross appeared above the battlefield, to which they thought, of course now, St. Andrew is looking down upon us. And so with less numbers and a weaker stance, the Scots advanced and prevailed over the English. And that is why the Scottish flag is St. Andrew's cross, or the saltire, on a blue background. Now, we don't have much information on Andrew from Scripture. We do know he was a fisherman, and we also know that he is one of the first disciples called by Jesus. In the three synoptic Gospels, he is called along with his brother Simon, who we know better as Peter. But in John's Gospel, we learn that Andrew actually was someone that sought after God, that really had a heart to seek out who God is and what he desired. Because we find that he is a disciple first of John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist sees Jesus after his baptism, John is there and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And Andrew immediately leaves John and follows this Jesus. And then after spending a day with him, we're told Andrew's first act was to go and find his brother and declared, "Simon, we have found the Messiah." And then he physically brings Simon Peter into Jesus' presence. Now, we don't hear much more about him in the Gospels, and in Acts, he's only really mentioned at being in the upper room after Jesus' ascension. See, Andrew never wrote a Gospel. He never penned an epistle. There was never an epistle addressed to him. And in fact, it seems he never did anything extraordinary or outstanding. And yet, thousands of years after his death, we know him and we honor his name. Why? Because he responded to Jesus' call. He responded and followed him, and was willing to go out of his way to bring others to Jesus as well. I mean, think about it. Imagine if he hadn't shared it with his brother. Imagine if he hadn't been willing to go after this stranger Jesus. Imagine if he had just found it easier to do what he knew best and stayed catching fish. I think the Gospels might be a little different. We probably wouldn't be listening to bagpipe music this morning. I think the questions go along with the questions that Paul raises to the Christians in Rome. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? We all know the tradition of New Year's resolutions, right? They tend to get a bad rap because people usually make these grandiose resolutions that fail within a week or two. But why not begin the new Christian year with a resolution for our Christian lives? Let's make a resolution to be like Andrew, respond to Jesus' call on our lives, and then to follow him and become fishers of people. See, one commentator explains, from the conduct of Andrew, we may learn that it is the nature of true religion to desire that others may possess it. It does not lead us to monopolize it, nor to hide its light under a bushel, but it seeks that others also may be brought to Jesus. It does not wait for them to come to him, but it goes for them. It seeks them out and leads them directly to him. Now, I'm not saying we should become kind of Bible thumpers trying to sell Jesus like a used car salesman. Besides, that would be so counter to the Episcopalian life. I mean, you know the joke, what do you get when you have a Jehovah's Witness with an Episcopalian? Someone that knocks on the door and doesn't say anything. But if our faith is real, it should exude out of us. It should exude into every interaction that we have, everything that we do, to the point that others should question and wonder and be interested in what is it that makes them different? What is it that makes their faith important and means so much to them? Sadly today, I think it seems we're so afraid of offending other peoples that we don't share what Jesus means to us. It's not about coercing. It's about sharing what is going on in your life. Because I think it's a detriment to our own faith when we don't. And it also stops others from coming to know the riches as well. So we need to ask ourselves and be ready to share with others why our faith is important. Why we come to church even when there is no bagpipe music. Why we reach out to others and care for them, whether we're related to them or not. Why we volunteer and give to those in need. Now, many of you might think, well, look, hey, I'm no saint, right? There's no way that I could be considered in the same line or the same venue as the disciples of Jesus himself. You know, I can't preach. I don't know Scripture well enough. I wouldn't know what to say. Well, I'm sure that we all could come up with a whole litany of excuses why we don't or are unable to share God's glory or bring others to Jesus. But there's an old story about John Calvin when he was preaching a sermon in Geneva about glorifying God. And the baker of Geneva was there, and he was very taken back by the sermon and approached Calvin to ask kind of a key question. And he said, you know, Master Calvin, how may I glorify God? Now, he expected, obviously, a very spiritual and religious answer, right? And yet Calvin replied, bake good bread. Do what you're good at. Do what God has gifted you at. But do it for the glory of God. See, Jesus met Andrew in his ordinary life, and he does the same with us. Andrew responded by following Jesus and then sharing it with those that he knew. Well, I think of a more recent saint, Saint Mother Teresa. I think sometimes that's easier because it's a little more contemporary for us. It's a more modern day example. But unfortunately, when we think of Mother Teresa, we think, Mother Teresa, there's no way. And yet, she didn't start her work with the poor thinking and planning on becoming a saint. She didn't go to Calcutta in order to win the Nobel Prize. She didn't start the religious congregation with 12 members thinking that it would grow as of 2016 into 4,500 members in 66 countries. And she was asked once if she knew kind of what her work would become, Would she have done anything differently? Her response was, if I knew, I would never have picked up that first person. See, the question comes, how did then she do all of this? Simply by being available. By answering Jesus' call to serve the poorest of the poor. Stepping out in faith with no agenda, no business plan, just going and picking up that first person off the streets of Calcutta that had been left to die alone. How did any of the saints that we celebrate do such mighty things? Not by going out with the intent of becoming a saint, but simply being available to Jesus' call on their life. And then doing what was right before them. Bringing the good news to the people that they were in contact with day to day. So where is Jesus calling us as we enter into Advent and again look for the expectation of the coming of Jesus? Are we willing to make a New Year's resolution to God to be available to His call? To bring His good news to a world that is so desperately in need of it? But to do that just one person at a time, just doing what is right before us, following Him and being open to share what He has done in our lives. Amen.